faking it gets exhausting. Here, we keep it real. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Curls and Courage, and thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete, aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. As always, I hope you guys are doing well, you know, working hard, having fun, and of course, prioritizing both your mental and physical health. So coming off of my Vegas trip, that's where we're at right now. It was so peaceful. I was staying in Vegas, I guess it was for about a week, with my family, my mom and my brother, in this big 5-bedroom, like 2-story Airbnb, staying in the outskirts of Vegas. Like, we're not on the strip, we're not in the city. So it was just super quiet and again, super peaceful. I'm sleeping in every day, you know. I'm the type of person, I typically get up around like 4:50, 5 a.m. for work. And truthfully, I'm not even a morning person. I just have to do that right now for work, and I want to help my people, of course, but sleeping in is always nice. And then plus, I'm just surrounded by love and support. Y'all know I miss my family back home for sure. So very good trip to Vegas overall. But I just got back a couple of days ago, and I'm trying to get settled back into my routine right now. And let me just tell you, coming off of the Vegas trip, as soon as I get to Miami, as soon as I hop in my Uber to come back to my house, you know, shit just starts getting real. I mean, I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm already missing the fam on the first day I get back to the city. It's like 10 p.m. already, and I need to be up at 4. This is when I'm first coming back from Vegas, again, just a couple of days ago. And I want to tell you guys, the experience coming back from Vegas, even that first day coming back to Miami, like I said, taking you back to, this would have been on Tuesday night. My Uber drops me off a couple feet away from my apartment, right? And as soon as I get out of the car, already these Miamians are screaming at us, telling me to like hurry my ass up, screaming at my Uber driver, telling him to get out of the road. And I'm like, man, like, can I just get my 2 luggages out of this Uber driver's back seat or out of this trunk? Can I just walk into my apartment? It's like 10 p.m., man. Like, let me just chill. Let me go back into my apartment and get some rest, all right? So I get home on this day, finally get back into my apartment, cook some spinach, cook some ground turkey. Y'all know me. I take a nice hot shower, unpack, and I'm trying to get some sleep. Let me tell you guys, you need that sleep if you live in the city, because in Miami, it's always hustle time. It don't matter if it's 5 in the morning. It don't matter if it's 12 a.m. in the morning. It don't matter if it's 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It's time to hustle. It's busy. It's fast. And it's the opposite of peaceful if you live in Brickell. But y'all know we keep the vibes up, and I'm super grateful to be here. Anyways, this goes to say we're a little tired, we're a little jet lagged, and we're just trying to get settled back into the Miami hustle. But we're still here, and I'm honestly so excited to talk to y'all on today's show. Let me just go ahead and get into it. Today's episode is more of a story time based show that you guys are going to love. I want to talk to you about what the past week of my life has looked like, because bodybuilding is honestly one of the most interesting sports in the world. As a bodybuilder, yes, I may be a little bit biased, but I swear it's true. That's what the Vegas trip was for. I was in a national level bodybuilding competition. I've been competing pretty consecutively over the past, I would say, 4 years of my life now. So in today's show, you guys are getting the inside scoop of what the final week of being a national level bikini competitor really looks like, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to talk about peak week, depletion, water manipulation, carb loading, the mindset that surrounds this last week, the training that goes into this last week, what show day looks like, what post-show day looks like update-wise, and just my plans moving forward when it comes to competing. And then lastly, we're just going to talk about Vegas, baby. What did we do to celebrate post-show? Because you guys know I love to work hard. It's so important. But I also love a good celebration. Let me take you guys back to last Friday, which will be the start of what's called my peak week. Peak week is basically the last week leading into a competition where you are working to peak your body to achieve the best stage look. For those of you who are not familiar with bodybuilding, you got to get into it. So a peak week is custom to every individual, and it really can make or break you. I would say my body composition really changes the last 4 to 7 days of a show any more than my entire prep. The goal of a peak week is to enhance muscle fullness, to better your muscle definition, and just to better your overall stage look. This week is pretty awesome just because you're seeing your body change drastically. There was one day in my peak week, and I'm talking about, again, just this last week, where I literally lost, I think, 8 pounds overnight. I went to bed at 131 pounds, and I woke up at 123. So that's pretty crazy. And obviously, my body's going to look different at those two weights because you're losing fluid, you're losing water, achieving that best stage look. So I say it's awesome. That's pretty cool. But it is also hell, if I'm being honest. And y'all know we keep it real. It's definitely not as glamorous as people make it out to be. And we're talking about peak week and show day. So this is what my peak week looked like. And we're going to start again from the beginning. Let's talk about water manipulation. I pretty much drink about a gallon of water or slightly more on a regular basis. And when you are manipulating your water leading up to a show, you're pretty much just continuously increasing that amount. So you always want to drink a little bit more water than you did on that previous day. So for me, it looks something like I'm drinking about 150 ounces of water to start when I start that water manipulation. Then it goes to about 200 ounces, 250 ounces of water, 300 ounces of water. By about 2 days out from my show, I was drinking 350 ounces of water. That's crazy. And can you imagine some of my clients, y'all can't even drink 100 ounces of water. And I'm not hating on you. I get it. It's hard to stay hydrated. But imagine drinking 350, okay? Do you think I'm feeling good? No, that's the answer. You are almost feeling like you're drunk, if that makes sense, because your brain is just super unclear. You're extremely tired and you just feel really weird and foggy. Like I'm like walking around the airport and just like feeling so strange. I'm like hopping on my flight. I'm like, y'all don't even know what I'm going through, the people I'm sitting next to. But what can I say? Bodybuilding is an extreme sport. And the purpose of this is not just to drink a lot of water. The purpose of a water manipulation is to trick your body into flushing out any excessive water to create a drier look on stage. So that water loading is going to reduce any bloating that you might have in your body to help decrease puffiness on stage and just get rid of any inflammation. So with this water loading, you are again drastically increasing your water. And then what you do is drastically reduce your water or maybe even cut it completely as you get closer to your event, as you get closer to your show. What I did personally was back down to about a gallon of water the day before the show and then drink maybe 30 ounces of fluid from the hours of like 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. on show day. So obviously going from 350 to 30 ounces of water is a drastic reduction. After the show, I'm like chugging water, I'm chugging Pedialyte, and of course I am chugging an energy drink because y'all know we love that Ghost Energy. Not sponsored by them, but Ghost is so amazing. Definitely will drop that brand in the show notes below. Literally drink one every single day. I have to. So we talked about fluid. Now let's talk about food. When you're about a week out from a show, you're already not eating very much, right? You're trying to get lean. But when peak week approaches, it's time for you to cut food even more and to go into what's called a depletion mode or a depletion state before you go through a carb loading process. Now, the purpose of a depletion is to, again, better muscle fullness, to better your muscle definition, and to kind of better that pop on stage once you add back in the carbohydrates. So the depletion stage happens about 3 to 5 days out from a show. Early in peak week, you deplete your glycogen stores by drastically cutting out carbs or taking them out completely. You are emptying out your muscle glycogen or the stored carbs you have within your muscle cells. What this does is create, I would say, a sponge-like effect. So when you go back and introduce carbs to your body again, your muscles just kind of soak them up. So it's almost like you SpongeBob, you know what I mean? You're just soaking up those carbohydrates and your muscles are just popping on stage. So after you go through a depletion, you go through what's called carb loading. That's when you get that SpongeBob effect. Honestly, now that I think about it, I don't know if the best person to compare myself is SpongeBob because he kind of boxy. He definitely got no physique, but you guys know what I mean. You typically carb load about 1 to 2 days before a show. This process is when you largely increase the amount of carbs in which you're eating to refill glycogen stores that were depleted earlier. This makes your muscles look fuller, tighter, and just more bubbly on stage. And there are a lot of risks too if you don't know how to carb load properly. Say, for example, your coach gives you too many carbs, or you're coaching yourself and you just go off the deep end. You might be spilling over, which means your midsection is not going to look tight. You're just going to look kind of watery. Or on the other hand, say that you don't fill out with enough carbohydrates, you risk being flat, which is when your muscles just don't really have any pop to them. You just look just kind of skinny, I guess, just no pop to the muscle. And again, this can vary person to person depending on your individual body type. But here's what I did. When it comes to the depletion, I didn't do anything too crazy. I just kind of scaled back slightly in my daily carbs and fats. I was already eating no carbohydrates at all on rest days, and then only carbs pretty much just around my training on lifting days, about 7 days out from my show, which again is what I had already been doing previously for, I would say, like 4 weeks out and below. I competed on Friday. So Wednesday morning, I just had no carbs until I trained that evening, just on my flight and stuff. And then my coach filled me out once I got off of the plane. That's when we started introducing carbohydrates before I had a training session, of course. And that was at 1 day out. And then once we got to show day, I was eating a lot of carbs. I was feeling pretty good. I don't want to bore you guys with every meal I eat because I eat 6 times a day. I'm a bodybuilder and it can be pretty monotonous, to be honest. But let me explain to you what my high carb meals looked like Thursday leading into my show, and then Friday, of course. Most people wouldn't expect you to eat like this at 1 day out. I feel like a lot of people that I talk to are like, oh my gosh, like 1 day out, you must be only eating whitefish and broccoli. And that's just not how it goes. You're actually doing the opposite. It's not super healthy. So when I woke up on Thursday morning, again, right now we're trying to carb load. We've already been through the depletion. You guys know what we're doing with the water. It's about 9:30 a.m. when I wake up. My first meal, I have coffee, 2 whole eggs, 60 grams of cream of rice, 15 grams from protein powder, and I just kind of mix that in with the cream of rice. Then my coach tells me to do what's called a stomach vacuum. A stomach vacuum is basically a core training technique that targets the deepest layer of abdominal muscles. It's called the transverse abdominis. To me, this helps improve just the control of your core. It helps improve your posture. It helps improve the way that you pose on stage. And then it also kind of gives the appearance of just more of a tighter, like smaller waist. You're kind of pulling your belly button in towards your spine. You're still breathing. You're not holding your breath, but you're just holding that position to target, again, your waistline, to strengthen your transverse abdominis and that type of thing. So I do these pretty consistently on a regular basis, but my coach wanted me to do them after every single meal on this day, which makes a whole lot of sense. Just want to make sure we keep the core tight, that I'm feeling good, that I'm sticking to a normal routine. After that, I took about 1,000 steps. A great way to improve your digestion is just to move around a little bit after every meal. I also try to do this when I'm at home. Now, of course, I can't always go walk for 10 minutes after every meal. Again, I eat like 5 to 6 times a day, so that's just not going to work. But I do highly recommend, to improve your digestion, try to walk for a little bit after every meal. Get some movement in if you can, at least after like dinner time or after a big breakfast, at least a couple times when you can. I mean, this day right before the show, we're only bodybuilding. That's the mode we're in. So we can do whatever that applies to how to better my physique. Meal two was at 12:30. I had 3.5 ounces of salmon. I had 100 grams of jasmine rice, 5 grams of coconut oil and asparagus. We did some vacuums. We took some steps. At 3 p.m., I had 1 ounce of vodka with a coffee packet. Yeah, that's right. You guys were not expecting me to say that. I'm a bodybuilder, but we getting turnt, okay? Why vodka and coffee though, for real? Both act as natural diuretics to help with rapid weight loss. Vodka is a clear alcohol that won't cause any bloat, and it also doesn't contain any sugar. It's not like you're having a margarita, right? And then coffee, again, yes, it's a diuretic like the vodka, but not only that, the caffeine just gives me a little bit of energy and a little bit more of a mental boost. Y'all, I love coffee. It's like one of my favorite things ever. All right. So meal three was at about 3 p.m. We had basically the same meal. We had 3.5 ounces of salmon, 100 grams of rice, 5 grams of coconut oil, and asparagus. We did some vacuums. We took some steps. Meal four, 6 p.m. I had 3.5 ounces of, y'all guessed it, some salmon. Okay, turn up. I could have also had lean turkey. And then I had 150 grams of baked sweet potato, 5 grams of coconut oil, And guess what veggie we had? Y'all already know we eaten that asparagus. All right. After that meal, I took a pill that's called Gas X. The reason being is I knew that after I had this 6 p.m. meal, I was going to eat something that my body wasn't as used to, something that was a little bit more calorically dense to really fill me out. I was very lean at this point and I didn't kind of have the risk of spilling over. We needed to make sure that my booty was popping and that my shoulders were full. So at about 9 p.m., guess what I had? Y'all know that protein. We had more salmon. I had so much salmon. I never want to smell. I never want to eat salmon again, at least for the next month. I had 2.5 ounces of salmon, 150 grams of rice with 10 grams of coconut oil. So just more carbs, more fat. And then we also had one muffin. Got that muffin from Walmart. Was pretty good, with 25 grams of almond butter. And then we getting turnt before bed. We had 2 ounces of vodka. So on top of this, I am, of course, taking multiple supplements, just regular supplements, nothing too crazy, just to help improve my digestion, to make sure that my immune function is where it should be, just following my regular routine. That is the meals that I had leading up into show day. Now let's talk about show day. I wake up at about 6 a.m. The first meal I had was at 7:15. I had some coffee. I had 2 whole eggs, 60 grams of cream of rice, 50 grams of fruits, and then 15 grams of almond butter. And then at about 8:30 a.m., it ain't even like 12 p.m. yet, and we already have another ounce of vodka. And this is kind of funny. I'll tell you all this short story real quick. So as my coach told me to get the vodka, of course, we're kind of rushing around that morning and I'm trying to follow everything as consistently as I can. We're trying to get my makeup done, trying to get my hair done to get, you know, ready for stage that afternoon. Things go kind of quick on show day. You never really know an exact time that you're going to be on. I say they go quick. It's not that they go quick. You just have to be very prepared because you don't know like a certain time you're going on stage. You just have kind of like an order of events. You don't know if it's going to run fast. You don't know if it's going to run slow. But to be honest, there are so many competitors. It typically does run slow, but y'all know we got to prepare in advance. Anyways, besides the point. So as we're driving to get my makeup done, I remembered that I didn't take the vodka shot. And I'm like, man, I really need that vodka. My coach told me to drink it. Again, I'm trying to be consistent. So I get to the casino, which is where I'm getting my makeup done. This is actually where the venue was at in Vegas, this big casino. And I was thinking like, all right, there's no way they're going to serve vodka. Like there's no way the bars are going to be open. Like it's 8 a.m. So I go up to the bar and they're like, oh yes, ma'am, of course. Like I can get you anything that you want. Like what else would you like? And I'm like, just give me the vodka, man, you know? And so I get the vodka, I take the shot right there. And I'm like thinking, okay, my coach had me feeling like Rihanna for real. I'm like, all right, pour it up. That's how we ball out. Y'all know I'm not a good singer, but that's what I was feeling like. Okay. Anyways, I get the makeup done. I come back to the Airbnb, finish getting ready. It's around 11:15 a.m. I have 2 ounces of salmon, 50 grams of rice, 3 rice cakes, and again, another ounce of vodka. Before I go on stage, I went on stage at around, I would say 1 p.m. the first time. There's always prejudging and finals. Before I went on stage, y'all are going to think this is crazy too. So what my coach has me do, and I highly recommend this as well if you are a competitor, my coach has me do what's called a pump drink. So this is to help my muscles, again, look as pumped as possible, because when you're backstage, you use bands to pump up your muscles to make them, again, appear more full. So before I go on stage, about 45 minutes before, I actually have 3 ounces of red wine, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1 scoop of pump powder. So let me just tell y'all, I don't really drink. I drink only on an occasion. And when I say that, that's maybe 3 times a year at most. So when I'm drinking, like I'm feeling that alcohol. So when I went on stage, I was feeling good. I was feeling relaxed. I was like, let's go get this. Anyway, so I went on stage. Got off of stage for prejudging. I come back out. It's like 3:30 p.m. I have my next meal. It's 3.5 ounces of salmon, 100 grams of rice, 10 grams of coconut oil. Hopefully this isn't boring, y'all, but it's kind of crazy if you don't know anything about it. 5 p.m. that same day, I had an ounce of vodka. I had another coffee packet with that vodka. And then 7 p.m. that same day, I had 2 chocolate chip cookies right before I went on stage, like 45 minutes before, I'd say, just so those cookies have enough time to digest. So All this goes to say, bodybuilding is an extreme sport, and many people would not think this is the diet of a bodybuilder. And let me tell you, the 16 weeks leading up to a show do not look anything like this. There is no alcohol. There is for sure no chocolate chip cookies, and there is no way I'm having wine either. All right. It's strict whole foods. You're pretty much eating chicken and rice, the rice if you're lucky, and a pretty good bit of vegetables. That's how it goes. All right. But that's bodybuilding for you. And it's a really, really cool sport. That's what the meals look like. That's what carb loading looks like. And that's what show day food kind of looks like for me personally. Let's talk about 11 p.m. that night, though. We were turning up. We were not eating any more salmon. We had a nice Mediterranean dinner. We had some hookah and we had a little pineapple drink. We were having a good time after show, kind of celebrating the hard work that I had put in. So always like to practice that as well. Having fun, celebrating your success. That post-show meal, there's really nothing sweeter. All right. So next two things I want to touch on before we talk about actual show day, how I placed and how I'll be moving forward, are the mindset and training that I adopt about a week out from competition and leading into that day too, of course. So training, you are not training super hard leading into a show. You're actually backing down all intensity to limit any inflammation, to limit any fatigue. You're also not training the day before the show or on show day, of course. I miss my training for real. Even 2 days, I'm like, oh, like I crave it. But super important that you do not train on those 2 days because your physique will look worse. What is really cool though is you do what's called a pre-show day pump. That pre-show day pump is about 2 days before a show. So on this day, I train glutes and shoulders. And this is always really fun because your body looks pretty nuts. It's super lean. It's super pumped up too because you finally have carbohydrates. So you're feeling really good. I love creating content around this. It really is a fun time. No hard cardio at all. You're walking only about a week leading into a show, which does not compare to what you're doing in prep, because normally in prep, I'm on that Stairmaster, I'm on the elliptical, I'm boxing, I'm running. But again, when it comes to a week out from a show, you're just backing down the intensity. You don't want your legs to be looking crazy or inflamed or anything like that. When it comes to the mindset, let me just say anyone who bodybuilds has so much of my respect, including myself, because you have to be a little bit insane. The discipline, the sacrifice, the hard work, the consistency that it takes is pretty crazy. A lot of people do not realize what goes into it, but you have to be resilient because, as you can see, you are putting your body through some pretty crazy shit. And I think it's fun, just to an extent, of course. Leading into peak week and on show day itself, as I've gained more experience as a competitor, I really don't get stressed. And just in life in general, I'm not the type of person to stress out. Stressing only makes things worse. So I try to control the situations that I can and focus on the good, which is a practice that I highly, highly recommend in any area of your life. Leading into peak week, I felt pretty good. I felt confident in my physique this time. It was a little bit shorter prep than I normally do, and I made this decision a little bit more last minute than usual, but I'd already been dieting for a photo shoot for a pretty long period of time, and I just really needed to push like the last 8 weeks leading into this show. So I felt good about my physique. I wanted to bring a little bit of a newer package this time, which meant the judges have seen me super lean and super conditioned. And the feedback I got at my last show was to come in a little bit just more muscular and more full. So I feel like that's what we accomplished. I definitely gained some muscle within this past 8 or 9 months. And then I also definitely was more full. I would say not quite as conditioned, not quite as lean this time. But again, that's the package that my coach and I had decided on that we wanted to bring. And we were just kind of trying to follow the judges' critiques. So feeling pretty confident, feeling pretty at ease overall, and just trying to, again, mitigate stress as much as possible. This is what the process looks like for me. It's only a small inside scoop to what bodybuilding really is, but it gives you guys a little bit more insight. Now I want to share how show day went for me. Let's talk about the placing. With bodybuilding, you win some, you lose some. The interesting thing about bodybuilding is it's not about who the hardest worker in the room is. It's not about who never cheated on their diet or who trained the hardest or who always prioritized rest or who took every supplement they needed to take or who made the most sacrifices. It really doesn't matter. Just because you're the hardest worker or just because you follow your plan 100% to the T does not mean you're going to win. You could cheat on your plan. You could miss training sessions. You could slip up a couple times and you might still win the whole show. No one's going to know that but you. But with that being said, bodybuilding is more of a personal decision, and it's something that you really have to love in order to do. It's just the nature of the sport. Sometimes you win shows, sometimes you lose shows, which is kind of what happened for me. So I ended up getting the worst placing that I have in the past 3 years of my bodybuilding career, and actually by far. So I was kind of at the top of second call outs, which what this means is the judges first call out a line of about 5 to 7 bikini competitors. This is the lineup you want to be in, because this would be the top 5 to 7 athletes, which I have got very consistently, like I said, over the past couple of years. But this year I didn't. My number wasn't called. I waited for it on stage. I held my front pose and that number was never called. So I ended up being the top of second call outs. They moved me around a little bit. I think I ended up maybe like placing 12th or something like that. Definitely not a high placing for me. With that being said, I don't even want to say I was super disappointed, because of course, when I show up to a show, I want to win. I'm super competitive. I know what my body is capable of, and I know that I can be the athlete that I want to be. But there comes a certain point where if you know that you've given it your very best, then there's nothing more that you can do. And maybe the timing just simply wasn't right. Maybe I shouldn't have competed at this show. And you know, maybe it was just within God's will for me to place the way that I did. And that's something you have to accept and understand and not beat yourself up over. So thoughts moving forward are, I'm not going to be doing any more competitions for right now. Not that I'm giving up, but I just want to take more time to work on my personal aesthetic, to work on my preference, which is very similar to the bikini division. A lot of the girls are a little bit more big and hard than me. For me personally, I do prefer a little bit smaller, more feminine look. So want to continue to work on that while just bettering my health, my mental health, my emotional health, and my hormonal health as well. Focusing on business and personal life while living the lifestyle of a girl who just loves to train, loves to work hard and loves to eat clean. But I know when it is my time on stage and I want to hop back up there, the stage will always be there. And I want to make sure that if I do come back, or when I do come back, I am so undeniable. There's no question. So super excited for when that day comes, but it's definitely time for me to take a little bit of a step back. Again, still focused on always being a competitive female bodybuilder. I love what I do, but I do have a lot of passions outside of bodybuilding, and bodybuilding is just one of them. So we live the lifestyle, but we're taking a little bit of time off from the stage. All right, you guys know the updates. Now let's talk fun. Because I know I seem pretty serious most of the time. And when it comes to my goals, I am serious. I'm pretty hard. But I also love to party. I love a good celebration. And I'm not talking about just partying to party. I do not go out very often. I'm not that type of person. But after this show, I wanted to celebrate. My family was there. I don't get to see them very often. My brother was there. So we decided the day after my show to go see an artist named Griffin. One of my clients actually hooked us up and got us free tickets. So this was super awesome, super nice of him, and a really awesome DJ. I'm super into music. I love house. I love anything that gets me dancing. And Griffin, I highly recommend. If you guys have not checked out some of his music, you have to. This guy is pretty sick. I would say his style is more dance, more house, and then more future bass, which is kind of like a less aggressive version of dubstep. Now, sometimes I like dubstep too, but I also can kind of chill to some house music. I don't like anything too crazy. I just can't handle it sometimes. But the music, again, is definitely something you can dance to, and it's honestly just good vibes. Griffin's a great performer, and he just seems super passionate on stage as well. So overall, we went out to a club in Vegas. It was so fun. Had a great time with my brother. You know, we were dancing pretty much all night long, meeting some pretty cool people. I think we got back at like 5 a.m. in the morning. We did feel like complete trash the next day, but totally worth it if that's something you're going to do literally like one or two times a year, which is probably how often I do it. We had a great time. We celebrated, and just again, being with family, dancing, you know, you really can't beat that. So it was good. I will say again, going back to feeling like complete trash, the next day, my mom wanted us to go on an adventure to see like what's called the Red Rocks, which is actually really cool. It's like a nature site in Las Vegas. But I remember sitting in the back seat
And I was just feeling so sick. I'm like, Mom, please let me drive up this cliff. Like, I cannot sit back here anymore. And she did let me drive. But I remember my brother and I, we were just so tired and just feeling pretty sick as well. I wanted to make some content too when we were, again, exploring these cliffs. And I made my brother take a video of me doing like front walkovers. You guys know I love to flip. And I swear on that third front walkover, I'm like, please hold it in. Please don't let me vomit. And I didn't. But... you know, when you go out, you're going to feel like trash, but again, it is worth it sometimes. So anyways, that's my story of Sin City. It was a great bodybuilding experience overall. And every prep, every show really does contain a valuable life lesson for me. Super grateful to call myself a bodybuilder for sure. I hope you guys enjoyed this story time and feel inspired to chase something that you're passionate about. Have the discipline to work hard for your goals and have the courage to step outside of your comfort zone. And also, do not forget to celebrate your wins. Working hard definitely matters, but there is also value in playing hard too. Final thing for today, I want to take a question from a listener. And today's question is, what's your go-to pre-workout routine? What do you eat and how do you get yourself so excited to train? I watch your stories and you just always seem so hype. Thank you. First off, I try to present good vibes always, but I'm definitely not always hype. I just try to hype myself up because sometimes you got to be your own biggest cheerleader. So starting with my routine, I eat a pre-workout meal about 45 minutes prior to training. I'm almost always able to eat my pre-workout meal at home, which I really like because I do work in person, but I also work online. So I try to work a hybrid approach and I try to plan my meals to where I can eat at home, which is super nice. What I currently eat, and I've been eating this for years now, I eat some type of lean protein. Typically, it's like a ground turkey. And then I'll also eat cream of rice and fruits. The cream of rice I use is actually by Flavor Gang. I think I mentioned it before, but it's kind of like a flavored hot cereal. I love the birthday cake and I also love the crackberry, it's called. It's just super sweet. Put some bananas, some blueberries on top of that, I'm good to go. And I will leave the link to that specific brand, specific cream of rice in the show notes below. Again, it's something I'm literally addicted to. It. Like once you have that flavor cream of rice, you are not going back to the plane and you are not going back to the oatmeal. Let me just tell you. And then as far as my hype, the reason I get so excited to train is because I really do love it. It truly is my favorite part of the day, even when I'm not feeling so good. I think it's just knowing in the backside of my mind that when I get to the gym, I'm going to feel at least 1% better after I leave. And then it's also just such a good mental release for me. I get to see a couple people that I know, some friendly faces. I get to see people working hard. And then for me, I just love putting in my headphones, listening to the music that I like, and just training my butt off, just training as hard as I can. Also, my ritual, I will say, when I'm on the way to the gym, I am listening to music the whole time. I am vibing. I am dancing. I got the windows down. The sun is beaming on my face, beaming on my arms, and I'm sipping on that Ghost energy drink I mentioned earlier. I got a straw in there. I put that Ghost in the freezer before I head out the door, make sure it's nice and chilled. And I just feel great driving to the gym. And then lastly, I would say wear a cool outfit. That's part of my ritual. I make sure I have something fly on when I'm at the gym, because if you look good, you're going to feel better while you're training. If you have an outfit that complements your body, you're going to want to train harder. I can't explain the science behind this, but I promise you guys it's true. And also, let me just say, if you ever need a hype woman, just send me a DM and I got you for real, okay? Thank you for that question. I hope that helps you out a little bit. If you guys do have questions that you want to send in, any questions, maybe you want them on the show or maybe you just want me to help you out with a little bit of health and fitness advice, feel free to send me a DM at YoItsKenslow. That's at YoItsKenslow on Instagram, or feel free to shoot a message to the Curls and Courage Instagram, which is just at Curls and Courage Podcast on IG. I always love connecting with you guys so, so much and do appreciate the support. And then also when it comes to supporting, please help me out a little bit. I encourage you guys, if you like this episode, please rate and review the show on any major podcast platform. Maybe you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Maybe you're listening on Spotify. All you have to do is scroll down, click 5 stars, leave a little review, and it would mean so, so much to me. Follow those IG accounts and the YouTube channel at Kinsley Meeks. Should be getting the video content up very, very soon. I'm hoping by mid-September when it comes to the podcast. I feel like I've been saying this forever, but building the studio in my apartment, it does take time, so y'all be patient with me. And then last platform that Curls and Courage is on, if you guys like listening to the radio, feel free to catch the podcast every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on WDJY 99.1 FM. I will also leave that link in the show notes below. Until the next episode, y'all, stay fearless, okay? Stay courageous. And as always, please keep your mental health and physical health a priority in your life. I'll talk to y'all soon. Appreciate y'all. Bye.